Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome to the conclusion. We are listening to the soundtrack of the documentary Stolen Honor, Wounds That Never Heal, put together by journalist Carlton Sherwood. John Kerry, in his testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in 1971, said that American servicemen were dying for the biggest nothing in history. I guess that John Kerry perhaps was underestimating the communists and what they would accomplish during that time in history. They enslaved hundreds of millions of human beings. Communists murdered tens of millions. After the liberals, John Kerry, Bill and Hillary Clinton, those against the war succeeded, and Americans left South Vietnam, hundreds of thousands of boat people from South Vietnam fled the country in fear of the North Vietnamese communists. In contrast to giving the communist South Vietnam, the way John Kerry characterized the American servicemen was that they were war criminals, guilty of torture, cutting off ears, beheadings, poisoning food supplies, rape, murder, systematic atrocities. Let's now rejoin the testimony, the later testimony of POWs talking about the American Naval Lieutenant John Kerry and his testimony in the Senate.
The things he said were just devastating because he was talking about using the words like war criminal and that kind of stuff. As a prisoner of war, we were being told we're war criminals and that we'll be tried for war crimes. And unless we confess and ask for forgiveness and badmouth the war and take their side in the war, we'll never go home. And then here's a guy at home. He's been in Vietnam, so I have some respect for the person who went over there. And now he swaps to the other side, and he's saying the same things we're being tortured to say. That was a very difficult time.
Well, my reaction to the Kerry testimony, the perjurious testimony in front of that Senate hearing committee in April of 71, I was outraged, and still am, that he willingly said things which were untrue, the very same points that we took torture not to write and say. They tortured us and made us write a war crimes confession to be used later, where we admitted, confessed to committing war crimes, and that we condemned our government's policy for being in Vietnam, and that we asked their forgiveness. And it was gall in my mouth to write these words, but I couldn't take any more of the torture. And for someone to do that willingly, and for someone to pass himself off as representing all veterans in Vietnam, and saying these outrageous things that were totally untrue, it's the measure of the man.
Every military combat guy I've talked to from Vietnam said their greatest fear was not being killed, was becoming a POW. And as you know, there are people captured in South Vietnam who were literally skinned alive and so on. Most brutal. And Kerry's giving the captors ammunition to treat people like that if they're captured. And these are people he knew. Where in the world is his loyalty to the people in the military?
But what about the allegations themselves? How true were they? How many were out-and-out fabrication, lies, designed to shock America, throw one last spotlight on the waning anti-war movement? And how many were driven by one man's personal political ambitions?
When he came back and told those lies about these atrocities that he'd personally witnessed, and ears being cut off, he never saw anybody's ears get cut off. He knew, or he should have known, those guys he was with, were frauds. They were just outright frauds.
To say that we were rapists, we were murderers, we were pillagers is absolutely a lie. There's just no two ways about it.
As to whether I believed that Kerry had actually seen these things, no. We understand something happened at My Lai. Frankly, I certainly, if you had told me the Marines had done this, I wouldn't believe it, because I can't comprehend that we would have let an officer get away with something like that. But that's beside the point. The My Lai massacre happened. But the guy, Callie, was punished for it. These things did not go on all the time.
Yes, all America cringed 2 years earlier in 1969 when Lieutenant Callie's actions at the massacre of My Lai hit the front pages. But wasn't this an isolated incident? Were not the cruelties of My Lai exposed by the soldiers there? American soldiers who refused to participate, whose revulsion compelled them to tell of the horrors they had witnessed. Was not John Kerry taking the exception and making it the rule? More than that, wasn't he saying that Americans, by their nature, were a murderous horde, unrestrained by accepted rules of combat or even the most basic forms of human decency?
We rationalized destroying villages in order to save them. We saw America lose her sense of morality as she accepted very coolly a My Lai and refused to give up the image of American soldiers that hand out chocolate bars and chewing gum. We learned the meaning of free fire zones, shoot anything that moves, and we watched while America placed a cheapness on the lives of Orientals.
Intended or not, Lieutenant Kerry painted a depraved portrait of Vietnam veterans, literally creating the image of those who served in combat as deranged, drug-addicted psychopaths, baby killers. And that odious image has endured in the press and popular culture for more than 30 years. Nearly every book or motion picture produced about Vietnam since 1971 echoes the litany of atrocities John Kerry laid at the feet of men who served there, especially those in frontline battle positions who bore the brunt of suffering and death. It was his evil American soldier on a bloody rampage that filled the screens and lined the pockets of producers of films like Apocalypse Now, Platoon, and Casualties of War. He wrote the first draft of history, not of Vietnam, but of those who fought there, and his was a history of shame and cruelty, dishonor, and unspeakable barbarity. But was it the truth, or were all Vietnam veterans slandered, their honor stolen?
All of the contacts that I've had with Vietnam, with veterans from South Vietnam have straight out said that that did not happen. Those were point blank lies.
I'm also horrified by the fact that he said all these people were doing it and couldn't produce anybody that actually done it. Then he adds on that he did it, which automatically means that he's a war criminal. If he says, which he believe he said, he did it too. We just don't do that. We're Americans, and not that we're trying to conceal things, but I certainly wouldn't come out and start talking about things that aren't even true. And I thought he'd be more accountable for it. I really did.
If he had actually seen these things, would he say that on television, risking the chance that somebody would say, why the hell didn't you stop it?
Yeah, when John Kerry talked about the atrocities, the war crimes, that was so contrary to the war that I knew. Example, in the air war in North Vietnam, if there were a SAM site, which was shooting us down, surface to air missile sites, they're flat guns. Guess where most of them were? They were within 2 miles of a pagoda. We couldn't go within 2 miles of a pagoda. We had to fly on certain headings because the bombs, they hung on the airplane too long and went. And we gave them every advantage to shoot us down because of the many rules that McNamara, Johnson, the people had put on. We were not committing war crimes. We were fighting that war with one arm tied behind us.
It was understandable that people opposed the war. It was understandable that that a lot of young people didn't want to participate in it. It was a long and ugly war, and it was run by politicians, and it wasn't permitted to be won by the military, and so consequently the country was dragged through an enormous 10-12 years of heartache. But to have former military people actually come up and testify against our activities in Vietnam, and to accuse us of being war criminals was devastating.
He was saying we had done these things, and he was saying things that he knew to be false and knew would harm us. That means he abandoned his comrades. He burned up his brotherhood, band of brothers, membership card when he did that.
The wives of POWs are no less adamant in their convictions. Louise Harris waited 7 years for her husband to return from the war. Mary Jane McManus was married just 3 days before her husband Kevin left for Vietnam. It would be nearly 6 years before she saw him again.
I believed that Smitty believed in what he was doing, or he wouldn't have been doing it. And I knew him to be a man of conscience. And I knew a lot of the fellows who were over there with him. As a matter of fact, so many of our squadron were over there in Hanoi, including Robbie Reisner, who was his squadron commander. And I knew the quality of these men. And I knew what they were saying was not true. And it was terribly upsetting to me that nobody covered anything except that kind of wrong thinking. As if Americans would truly go into countries and rape the women and kill the babies and do horrible, unspeakable things to the people. We were there to help those people, and I believed that with every fiber of my being. And whether or not the exact conduct of the war went as we wanted it to, I knew in my heart that men like Smitty and most of the people that I knew would not do the kinds of things that John Kerry was saying were being done. I didn't believe it.
I knew he was getting publicity, but I didn't believe that the American people were going to fall for what he was saying. They couldn't. They had sons, brothers, husbands over there fighting. They were war criminals coming back? They weren't. They were good men who, because of Kerry's testimony later, came back spat upon. They couldn't even wear their uniforms in the streets. I'm not going to say all the wives were thinking, but a vast majority of them, that Kerry was obviously, as my husband says, ruining the reputations of those who had already died, ruining the reputations of those who were still serving, of whom my brother was part, and worst of all, killing any chances for our husbands to get home from Vietnam.
And that, perhaps more than any other issue, still haunts and angers many of these men and their families. Were John Kerry and his fellow anti-war activists responsible for lengthening their imprisonment, and in doing so, causing the deaths of men who might otherwise have survived? Their answers are unequivocal and chilling.
They unquestionably lengthened by untold number of months, maybe years, the amount of time that we were required to spend there. And had anybody acted upon their recommendations to the extent that they requested and basically capitulated and withdrawn our troops from Vietnam, we would have been committed to a death in North Vietnam, either over a long period of time for old age or immediately when the Vietnamese found us no longer useful.
Without question, we were held captives longer because of the anti-war people, from the Kerrys to the names of Fonda and Hayden, the ones we knew over there. That they encouraged the enemy to hang on.
It took the anti-war movement to help them win what they had to win. So those people that participated in that anti-war movement, they delayed the war, they caused additional American casualties, and as an incidental, oh, by the way, they kept me in jail longer, none of which I appreciate.
We stayed 2 more years because of him. John Kerry, Jane Fonda, and all that crowd, the anti-war movement, I figure they owe us 2 years.
I'm convinced that Kerry's and his fellow anti-war people caused the war to be extended for at least 2 more years, throwing medals over the wall, speaking out against our country in time of war when he knows it's going to extend the war, it's going to delay, it's going to complicate things. And it's probably hurt a lot of people, a lot of prisoners, like I say, the man I dedicate my book to. I'm convinced had the war been over 6 months earlier, he'd have been home alive today. but he's not.
Former Senator Bob Dole, a decorated war veteran himself, recently called on Senator Kerry to apologize to all Vietnam veterans for his actions in 1971. Will an apology heal the wound Senator Kerry has reopened?
I would like to see John Kerry say, I was wrong. We did not, as policy, commit atrocities, committed barbarities over there, as he described. That just isn't so. And if he were to admit that he did that just for political gain or to get attention or to make a point and exaggerate it, I'd have a lot more respect for him.
What Senator Kerry did is irreparable. You can't repair that kind of damage. You can't get up and tell a bold-faced lie. And that's when he said we were rapists, we were murderers, we were pillagers, et cetera, et cetera. That was a bold-faced lie. There is nothing you can do. You cannot apologize for that. You can't say what I really meant was this. There's nothing that you can do. It's irreparable.
Frankly, an apology is not going to do anything for me now, because he doesn't owe the apology to me. He owes it to everyone who served in Vietnam, and for that matter, everyone who's ever served in the armed forces, peacetime or wartime, from the beginning of the country, since he turned his back on all of us.
When a war ends, those who fought it can expect to hear the praise of a grateful nation, honored for their sacrifice, remembered for their valor. But those returning from Vietnam experienced none of that. Instead, they were vilified, condemned, made to feel unclean, called sick, and even spat upon. For men like Colonel Bud Day, who spent 67 months as a prisoner of war and survived to become one of the most decorated veterans of the last century, including the nation's highest award for valor, the Medal of Honor, for distinguished veterans like Colonel Day, the damage done to those who served in Vietnam can never be reconciled.
I was also outraged to learn that my fellow soldiers and Marines who had come back had gone through some of those reception areas and been spit on, and that they had told them, don't wear your uniform on the airplane, don't subject yourself to all this abuse. All of those people had honorable service, and to have been mistreated the way they were when they came back from the war after having done their very best out in those steamy jungles of Vietnam was truly an outrageous thing. And right to this day, 2004, we still have not recovered our good name. The thing about the Kerry comments back in 1971 was that they were so sensational, they were so outrageous, that they were precisely the kind of thing that a propaganda expert and the news media were looking for. We went to that war with good intentions. We fought it under honorable conditions. We fought it under Geneva Conventions. And he has blackened the entire history, not just that day, not just for a few months, not for just a year, but now we're looking at 3 decades. He has destroyed the good name of all Vietnam veterans. This man committed an act of treason. He lied. He besmirched our name. He did it for his own self-interest. And now he wants us to forget. I can never forget.
The Vietnam War is not an experience most Americans would choose to relive. Those who fought it and those who fled it would both prefer to consign its painful memory to history and move on. But Senator John Kerry won't let us. By making his actions during and after the war the cornerstone of his political career, he forces us to feel again old agonies and regurgitate old doubts. And because of that, the long road back from the hell of Vietnam has grown even longer. And those of us who were there seem condemned to the damnation he and others have wrested upon us. Perhaps it will take a political debate in an election year to finally cleanse away the persistent stain of that war and drive off the demons that haunt our culture. Perhaps films like Apocalypse Now, which reflect John Kerry's view of the murderous American, will no longer be made because the dishonesty of it has been exposed. Perhaps, and this is a big perhaps, The media will own up to its complicity in allowing the Kerry testimony to remain relatively unchallenged and give the voices you have heard tonight a hearing throughout the land. Our American prisoners of war in Vietnam feel betrayed and unjustly accused, as do untold thousands of Vietnam veterans who served honorably and well. They believe too much has been made about the hand that helped a soldier back onto a boat, and too little written about how one man drowned the hopes of thousands, dishonored their sacrifice, and robbed them of their heritage, their place in history. They don't want a belated apology. They want John Kerry to be finally accountable for the disgrace, the harm he inflicted on an entire generation of good soldiers. Simply put, they want the truth, not parades or hero worship, just the plain truth and their dignity and honor restored. I'm Carlton Sherwood. I know a lot about Vietnam and the men who fought and bled there. They didn't throw away their decorations or their honor. Perhaps the man who did will come forward and set the record straight. Good night and Godspeed.
This is Bob Enyart. We've been listening to the soundtrack of Stolen Honor, Wounds That Never Heal, the documentary about John Kerry's testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on April 22, 1971, when he was still in active duty, an American naval lieutenant, and in effect, he gave the communists the pass when America was there to try to stop the march of communism from nation to nation across the world, when the communists had enslaved hundreds of millions of people, taking away their freedom, freedom to travel, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. They robbed them of their freedom. They murdered tens of millions of people, the communists did. And hundreds of thousands of South Vietnamese fled from their North Vietnamese communist murderers in horror, beginning that time in history that we remember the nightmare of the boat people, not only of Vietnam, but Cambodia and Laos. And in contrast to the Vietnamese, where people like the communist Vietnamese, people like Jane Fonda and others in the left would defend them, say that all they wanted was peace and equality, the lies of those who supported the communist murderous regimes, tyrannical regimes, contrast the way they give a pass to the communist with John Kerry's assessment of the American soldier. In his testimony, he characterized American servicemen, the guys that are the heroes, not only of our nation, but of the world. American servicemen have liberated peoples, but tens of millions of peoples around the world, shedding our blood so that other people in other lands could have freedom. And once again, we've just now in the past couple of years liberated over 20 million Afghans, and in Iraq, liberated the Iraqis from the mass murdering tyrant Saddam Hussein and his government. And John Kerry characterized the American soldier as a war criminal, systematically guilty of torture and the cutting off of ears and cutting off of limbs and rape and beheadings and poisoning food supplies and murder. The systematic atrocities he accused our servicemen of, and he claimed also to be a war criminal himself. And the media has given him a complete pass. Now, our broadcast of this documentary should not be construed as an endorsement of George W. Bush. As the pastor of Denver Bible Church, that's my career. I pastor a Christian church, and I'm a talk show host here of Bob Enyart Live. I will support George W. Bush. I will vote for George W. Bush if he promises to never again nominate a judge who is pro-abortion, who will keep legal the killing of innocent children. Now, this documentary, I think you agree if you've heard it, if you heard the testimony, the lies that John Kerry told against our servicemen, the slander, and to understand the result, that Kerry's words lengthened by months the imprisonment of our POWs. That's pretty horrendous considering what they went through. But think about, compare John Kerry's words with George W. Bush's actions. George W. Bush nominates pro-abortion judges, and he defends his right to put into office, to put into authority, men and women who advocate continuing the killing of unborn children by the authority of the federal government. So compare John Kerry's words, which lengthened the term of imprisonment for our POWs, with George W. Bush's actions by nominating pro-abortion judges. George W. Bush's actions may lengthen by decades the killing of unborn children. And when conservative Christian leaders like George W. Bush, when they tolerate and even promote the killing of children by saying George Bush's policy, I support the killing of unborn children if their father's a criminal, or I defend my right to nominate pro-abortion judges because I'm not ready for Roe v. Wade to be overturned. He was asked in the third debate, just like he was 4 years ago, just like when he was a governor of Texas. He was asked, would you overturn Roe v. Wade? Is that your goal? And he said, that's like asking me if I have a litmus test. The answer is no. He defends his right to nominate judges who will keep legal the murder of innocent children. And that's as terrible as anything the communist Vietnamese ever did. And that's why I will not vote for George W. Bush. If George W. Bush will pledge to never again nominate judges who will keep legal the killing of innocent children, then he will get my support and my vote. But unless that happens, he will not. And on Election Day, in a few days, I'll vote for the Constitution Party candidate, Michael Peruca, not because he has a chance to win. He doesn't. Not because the Constitution Party has any kind of long-term hope for America. It doesn't. The Constitution Party is not going to rise up and begin winning national elections. That's not going to happen. But just as I would not support a politician in Germany who said, I advocate killing some Jews, and I will nominate Nazi judges who believe in killing some Jews because I don't think the German people are ready to stop killing Jews, I wouldn't support that politician. I would oppose him. And so I oppose George W. Bush. And the Republican Party has nominated, what, 7 of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices are Republican justices. And it's a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-pornography, anti-Christian U.S. Supreme Court. And as long as we conservative Christians, as long as we keep giving our support to Republican politicians who will compromise on thou shalt not murder, we cannot win the battle. We can't win when we support those who compromise on thou shalt not murder. They teach you don't compromise on Republican Party politics, but you can compromise on God's principles, even thou shalt not murder. Hey, we're out of time. This is Bob Benyart directing you to our website, kgov.com, and call us up 1-800-836-9278.